Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Pull Up Podcast. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been back on the airwaves, but we are back nonetheless, as the Golden State Warriors has still not lost a game since we last spoke. And joining me today is going to be Oliver. And I think I'm going to have you at least once a week, Oliver, because you and I have, you know, different opinions. It's good conversation, and basically it's an easy conversation to have.
Yeah, it's a good time, man. I appreciate you having me on, and look forward to being on more.
Right, and you know you're a busy man, but you're writing for Hoops Critic now, joining the team, so it only makes sense to have you on here. But before we get into our main topic, I just want everybody who's listening to know that the 2016 NBA All-Star voting is now open as of today. So that means all you Laker trolls can go ahead and submit Kobe every 5 minutes on there to be an NBA All-Star, which would be a joke, but I get why we do it. Let him get his one last All-Star game farewell type thing going there. But vote early and vote often for your favorite players. I think in the Eastern Conference, everybody should be voting for Isaiah Thomas. And if he doesn't get a spot, it will be a travesty, in my opinion.
Certainly agree to that point. He's been playing terrific as of late, and the Celtics are doing things that I really like.
Yeah, and so I don't know how well you know our good friend Snotty Drippin, Mr. James, but him and I are both Celtic fans. He's never lived in the area, which is weird why he's a Celtic fan, but, I'm born and raised in the area, so I'm justified. But him and I, all throughout last season, all throughout the offseason, battled back and forth. And I liked what the front office is doing with this roster. He absolutely hates it. He was up in arms that they won games last year. He was up in arms that they made a playoff spot last year. He thinks what Philadelphia is doing is the correct way to go about building a title. And we are, 20, 25 games into this NBA season right now. And there are talks that the Boston Celtics are the number one ranked team in the Eastern Conference based on, analytics, or the new stat that came out a couple of days ago was on ESPN with their BPI, which is like a power index that they come up with. And, everyone's got different stats. And at the end of the day, you still got to win the most amount of games and win the title. But everything that you've seen so far with the analytics and the efficiency of this Boston Celtics roster has them in the top tier of the Eastern Conference. And, this is a team that, quote unquote, lacks a star. They've been battling injuries, something that most people don't want to talk about. Right now, arguably their best player has been out for 2 to 4 weeks, although they're saying he'll be back next week, and Marcus Smart. But they're just playing good team basketball. They're playing good defense. They're forcing over a lot of turnovers, and it's really something special. And I think we should start with, and I don't know if you got a chance to read it, Oliver, but Real GM had a good post on how Brad Stevens has brought defense back to Boston, especially this year. And a couple of the points that I got out, and you see it with your eyes, this passes the eye test, is this Celtics team is they're quick, which allows them to gamble because they can recover. Also, they have three excellent on-ball defenders in Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder. And also, they're pinching opponents to a corner or to one side of the court, forcing the ball handler to, maybe make a quick pass or a rushed pass or a panic pass, and they're very good at jumping those passing lanes. And they're doing it without essentially a big man defensive presence. And this whole podcast today is going to be discussing the game tomorrow night between the undefeated Warriors and the up-and-coming Boston Celtics, where everyone's saying this is the one shot that a team has to stop this winning streak coming in on Friday. Warriors are traveling, opposite coast. The Celtics are playing really good basketball. All the analytics in Vegas is saying, this is going to be the hardest game for the rest of the year, which we'll get to might be wrong later. But how are you viewing this Celtics team compared to last year? What in your mind has really made them become so much better without really doing too much to the roster outside of getting David Lee, Amir Johnson, you know, and obviously drafting a couple of rookies who really aren't making much of an impact so far?
Well, first of all, defensively, and you mentioned it, the Celtics are one of the best in the NBA. I think they're ranked second in overall team defense. They create turnovers on an astronomical number against opponents. And you've got Marcus Smart, who still isn't really healthy yet. Once he is, you've got one of the best defensive backcourts in the league. So with Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, you mentioned it, those guys are always going to be there, and they're all great, excellent on-ball defenders. And anytime you have good defense, it certainly helps you out. And when you've got guys that are young, they're fit, they're athletic, and they're consistent on a night-in and night-out basis for the most part, the one area that I see in this Boston Celtics team that worries me is their sporadic offense. And, you know, one night you can see them score 40 points in one quarter, and then the next quarter they can turn around and score 10. And so that's the only part that I see as kind of a, you know, something to look out for. And that comes with youth and inexperience. I mean, and that'll get better, I expect it to, at least over time and over the season. The thing that I, you know, obviously Brad Stevens is probably, I mean, if the Golden State Warriors aren't in the league, or are playing as good as they are right now, I think Brad Stevens has an argument to be Coach of the Year this year. And even talking with like Ben Golliver of Sports Illustrated and Amin Alassane of ESPN, both of those guys kind of led to the assumption that, you know, the Boston Celtics are kind of created in the same way that the Golden State Warriors were 3 to 4 years ago. They have a lot of they're not high draft picks, they're not high lottery picks, but they're guys that were maybe in the lottery or maybe at the tail end of the lottery, and they're just coming on. And what Brad Stevens has done is it's next man up basketball. I mean, what, you know, Smart goes down and everyone goes, oh crap, here comes the, you know, the tail off of the season and the Celtics will start to lose games. Well, guess what? They're winning games and winning close games at that. And when you're winning close games and battling teams like Toronto to the final couple of minutes, you know, that just only can improve this team confidence wise. And so you're seeing guys like Isaiah Thomas get more of a shot. And Brad Stevens just lets his players do what they want to do. He's strict, but he knows, you know, when to pull someone out and when not to, if that makes sense. He can read the game very well, and I think he makes substitutions based on that. You see guys that in the box score just aren't necessarily the best in the box score, but Amir Johnson, Jay Crowder, guys like that make up for it with effort, hard work, and intensity on the court. And if, you know, like you said, the eyeball test, if you don't see it on the court, you know, it's hard to envision that team being very good. But really, those guys all hustle, work really hard. And I think defensively, if you're a good defensive team, you always have a chance to win a game.
Right. And before we get into the camaraderie between these two teams we're talking about, because I think you touched on it a second ago, I do think they're built similar. You know, very guard heavy. They don't really need a quote unquote rim protector. Although, you know, we saw the value of Andrew Bogut and David Lee down the, not to say David Lee's a rim protector, but you saw the value of them down the stretch in the finals last year. But they're built the same. But what's so special about the Celtics team is it is a depth, and you know, you only have three players playing over 30 minutes. And when I say over 30 minutes, I'm talking 31 minutes. This isn't, you know, you don't have anyone out here averaging 40 minutes a game or 38 minutes a game. So they're all relatively fresh, and Stevens is not wearing them out. Also, you got 10 guys with double-digit per ratings. And when I say double-digit per ratings, it's over 13 per. And the only person who's under that is Marcus Smart, which, you know, he's, you know, offensively he still has a lot to develop there, but defensively I think he's, you know, one of the top tier guards defensively. And, you know, going back to what we keep saying, it passes the eye test. Also, this team passes the ball really well. They have over 8 guys with over 1.6 assists a game, and their big men pass well. Everyone shares the ball. They don't really have a, you know, one player like you look at the Clippers, and it's basically Chris Paul's, and obviously Blake Griffin once in a while will pop in there with a nice triple-double, but for the most part, it's Chris Paul running the offense, getting it working. This team just works together, and what I want to talk about is you watch them, and you look at the bench at any moment, and there's usually two or three guys standing up. And, you know, I was at the game last night against the Bulls, and There was one situation where you had Isaiah Thomas and Jared Sullinger and Jay Crowder were all on the bench, but they weren't on the bench. They were standing up, cheering on the other guys. And it just seems like everybody on this roster for the Celtics likes each other, and it keeps bringing back these memories of the Golden State Warriors. And granted, they're not a NBA Finals contender yet. No one's saying that. But what we're witnessing is almost a replication of how the Warriors built their team. Jared Sullinger is a very poor man's Draymond Green. Doesn't pass quite as well, obviously can't defend one-on-one quite as well, but it's same built and same style where he's going to do some things that Draymond Green's going to do. And obviously, we talked about it a second ago, both of these teams are very guard-heavy. They rely heavily on their guards, not only just for scoring, but for defensive purposes. Their guards dictate the tempo on how they're going to defend their opponents. And it's funny because these two teams kind of do it differently. The Celtics really rely on their defense to get their offense going, whereas the Warriors rely on their offense to get their defense going because teams just get down so far with Golden State that they're forced to, take rush shots, and then, they're really pinching the remaining time of a game and trying to utilize the shot clock as quickly as possible to catch up in these games. And, we saw it with the Pacers the other night when they fell victim to 140-something to 130 game. It's really something out of this world. But the one thing I have noticed, and, I go on Reddit a lot, I'm on Twitter, and you're seeing a respect for the Celtics team. I think it's finally come around. Last year, it really wasn't there. There was, still a lot of people who didn't buy it near the end of when they made the playoffs and all that stuff, and they got swept the first round, rightfully so. But this season, they're getting respect, even from Warrior fans. If you go on the subreddit for the Warriors, everyone watched that Celtics game last night with a keen eye because they want to see what they're getting into. And, it was nothing but good praise and they see a team playing the game the correct way. And that, to me, is something that's interesting heading into the matchup tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you've pretty much touched on all the points. You look at this Golden State Warriors team, a lot of people say, you've got to got to do this or you got to do that. There's really no one way to beat this team. It's got to be a team effort, and really – they've got to play against a full team. I mean, they've played against good players, and they've played against good pairs of players. But really what it comes down to is effort, team defense, and really holding yourself and your team accountable when you do make that mistake. You see guys like Steph Curry, even though he's down 22 points or 20 points or whatever the case may be, they never feel like they're out of it. And that's the difference between this Golden State Warriors team and any other team in the NBA right now, is they're loaded with confidence. They're loaded with extra effort and extra energy, and they're always hustling for the extra ball. None of them are, quote-unquote, the typical NBA star player. What I mean by that is you don't see James Harden working that hard on defense. You don't see Carmelo Anthony working that hard on both ends of the court, 40 minutes a night. I don't know another player, even LeBron James, that plays both defensively and offensively as well as Steph Curry or Draymond Green does. They play the full game throughout the game, and they don't stop. And then that's really a huge difference, between the Golden State Warriors and any other team in the league right now. And I think the Boston Celtics are right up there as one of those teams who just won't stop. They won't give up. They won't, and it sounds silly. Effort is a huge portion of this game, but really it's true. I mean, you look at the Houston Rockets and how bad they're doing. A lot of that for me comes down to effort. They have the players,
it absolutely
they
is.
Have the, everything. And you look at a lot of teams, it comes down to effort. I mean, and then you look at the good teams and you look at them fighting for, 50-50 balls and you see them making the extra pass. They're unselfish. And both of these teams are very, very close to each other in the way they play and the strategy and more or less just the players that they've assembled. And the Boston Celtics, I mean, let's not forget, they have a ton of draft picks the next couple of years here. And they could be looking at, Ben Simmons coming into this thing next season. I know it's early, but if Brooklyn continues to lose and Philly somehow sneaks in a couple wins here and there, you may be seeing Ben Simmons with this core, and then you're looking
scary.
At like we were talking about that a Golden State Warriors kind of caliber team, they could be the next team. Brad Stevens is a great coach, and he coaches up this team to a winning ability that really we haven't seen in Boston since the Paul Pierce KG Ray Allen days.
Right, and not the same way too, because that was that was a good friend of Mikhail out in Minnesota with the disgruntled star, and you know the stars aligned there. Here it's just been methodical building, improving your assets, and you know it's weird because I feel like Ainge has viewed players the same way that Sam Hinkie has in terms of, you know, you're an asset, you're either appreciating or, you know,
appreciating, and
you figure it out, and you know you sell when he's high and you think you got his max value, you buy low like a guy named Turner was getting tossed around, nobody wanted Evan Turner, you know, he's found a home here, and you know his teammates seem to love him here, you know, he's playing some of his best basketball he has in his career, although he's probably not a number two overall type talent, but you know, he's really revived his career in Boston. And there's one thing that made me crack up. I don't know if you caught the CJ Miles quotes after the Pacers and Warriors game, and you know they were just asking, you know, what makes them so good, and you know obviously we look at things like, you know, they have two of the top 10 shooters in the league and arguably the best shooter of all time already, Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. But it's really spacing and shooting, and he goes, you know, it's just not one guy or two guys, it's like everybody on the team can shoot well.
Yeah.
Looking at the matchup coming in tomorrow in Boston, where the Warriors will be visiting the Celtics, everyone's pinning this as in, you know, Jeff Van Gundy kind of started it the other night, saying this is the game that the Warriors are going to lose. If they were to lose one, I still think the Warriors are going to win this game, and I'll give you my thought in a nutshell after we set this up. But you basically have the best offense coming in to arguably the best defense in the Eastern Conference, especially in terms of guards. And I think that's where a lot of the experts are looking. They're saying, you know, Jay Crowder can slow down Clay, and Avery Bradley can give, you know, Steph Curry a hard time, although Steph Curry torched them the last time they played. But, you know,
yeah.
Brad Stevens can throw out a lot of different things. And, you know, Sullinger can, you know, body Draymond Green, get physical with him, and you know, really just rely on chasing those passing lanes and relying on your guards to slow down the pace defensively. But where I have a hard time thinking that the Celtics are going to win this game, because we've seen it time and again, when you have an elite offensive team, the Warriors can score in seconds. Like, no one's doubting that. You know, Curry can take, you know, score 12 points in four shots before you even blink an eye, and, you know, your 8-point lead just turned into a 4-point deficit just like that. On the flip side of that, the Celtics don't have that capability. They can't erase a big lead as quickly as the Warriors can. So even if the Warriors are shooting like crap, and, you know, say they're shooting 40% as a team, and, you know, they're 6 for 29 from behind the arc.
That's crap for the Warriors.
Yeah, and that's crap for the Warriors. Great for the Sixers, but that's crap for the Warriors. And, you know, say the Celtics are up 5 with a minute left in the game. Nobody is walking out of that stadium, because they know that lead's most likely not safe, and the Warriors will find a way to win that game. And that's just what we're seeing here. We're seeing something historical here. So what are you kind of looking at coming into this game on Friday? What are you expecting to see, and how do you think it's going to play out?
Well, I've kind of said this throughout the season. I actually think that Steph Curry isn't the main thing that teams need to be worried about. I think Draymond Green is as important, if not more important, to this Golden State Warriors team and how they play. Draymond Green's top 5 in the NBA in assists right now. Not assists per game, but assists overall.
Assists.
And why is that? Because he moves the ball through that team, and that's where it goes through a lot of the time. I know Steph Curry is usually the one handling the ball, but Draymond Green is getting the ball an absurd amount of time for a big, and he's making a ton of threes. He's almost, you know, 45-50% from three-point land, which is just crazy as a big. But really what you're looking at is the Celtics need to find a way to eliminate some of those passes. And how you do that, they may have to double Green at certain times, or they may have to figure out a way to stop Green from making those passes. Now, obviously, you've got on-ball defenders that are better. Can Avery Bradley get in those passing lanes? That's really what I'm looking for. If Draymond Green can't pass to Steph, then he's going to look towards Clay or look towards Iguodala. And not to say that Clay and Iguodala are, you know, worse shooters of the ball than Steph Curry, but they're definitely less consistent. And so if they can make Clay and Iguodala and maybe even Bogut get the ball more and force it out of Steph Curry's hands and Draymond Green's hands, then they can potentially, you know, get them off to a rough start and the Celtics can go on a run. The thing on the Celtics side of things offensively is the Celtics need to be able to make shots. And they've done that in certain games. And like I said earlier, they're sporadic. That's really the deal with the Celtics team a lot of the time. And so if they can be consistent offensively enough of the point where, you know, it's not a liability, then I think the Celtics have a shot. So those would be the two keys in my mind, is stopping Draymond Green from making those passes through the passing lanes, and keeping guys like Steph Curry off the ball and making them pick up their dribble, so that he can't find the opening or the open guy. Because I know the Celtics team can defend otherwise. It's just that Steph Curry is an amazing offensive threat. And if you let him even have an ounce of space, he's going to kill you. And either with a pass, with a shot, whatever the case may be, that's what he's known for, and that's what he is. That's why he's one of the best players in the NBA. That's why he's the best player in this current NBA, as well as just historically, he's one of the best players. Efficient,
right.
And he finds the openings, and that's what's key. He just finds every little nick or knack inside of the game. Wherever he is on the court, he has vision that is unlike any other point guard that I've seen in the league, especially with how good his offense is shooting-wise. So that's where the Celtics really need to key in, is Draymond Green and making sure those passing lanes aren't opening up.
Yeah, and for me, you know, the biggest thing for Steph Curry that I see is one is durability. I mean, it feels like it was just yesterday we were questioning how strong his ankles are, injury prone, and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. Do you move on from it? It's so funny in hindsight when you look back at the things we said and worried about. And that's why I stopped worrying about young guys, especially guards, in terms of injuries in their career. Especially, they're not like serious injuries. You know, like DeMarcus Smart, he's been dinged up the past couple of years. Just the way he plays. He plays hard. He plays rough. I do worry about injuries to big men. But my point of Steph Curry is I was very impressed with his durability the past few years and just how hard he's worked for that. But also his dribbling. His dribbling is out of this world. He might be the best dribbler in the league right now. And that's, you know, and that's just something that goes to his ethic. And I forget who I had on my podcast. And I think it was Bob Rathbun, play-by-play for the Atlanta Hawks. And what he said about Steph Curry, and because we were talking about, you know, being wrong on players. And I said I was wrong on Steph Curry. I didn't think he'd last in this league. I saw him in college as a little frail kid who could bomb away, but what else can he really do? You know, he's going to be like a Jimmer Fredette type player. Turns out I'm wrong. He's probably a back-to-back MVP, you know, NBA Finals MVP winner. Just making me look like a fool. And what Bob Rathbun said is, a lot of times we look at what a player cannot do. So we look at a player, what he can't do right now. But we don't look at how hard they work and how hard they work to improve those areas of the game that they're not that good at. And that's Steph Curry in a nutshell. That's exactly why I was wrong on Steph. I didn't look at his work ethic. I didn't look at his determination to correct those things where he was weak at. And instead, I just focused on what he couldn't do at the present time. So that's where I was wrong. But for me, like, Celtics game planning for tonight. Because, I mean, this is what it's come down to. The Warriors are going to win. But how do you stop the Warriors? And I always toss and turn about this. And I'll let you close up the cast answering my question. But I always go back and forth. Do you let Steph Curry eat? You know, let him go off for 80 points. And make sure you stop everybody else. Or do you stop Steph Curry, meaning you almost double him every time he touches the ball, and let the other guys beat you? Because that's essentially what you're going to do. No one's matching up with this roster, you know, mano a mano. Maybe the Cleveland Cavaliers, which I just want to say this quick nugget. I know the Celtics, some statistics said that the Celtics, the winning percentage for the Warriors the rest of this year, 2015, before the new year, the lowest winning probability they have is tonight, tomorrow night against the Celtics. Kyrie Irving might be back next week. So that Christmas Day game, that might end up being the lowest probability winning percentage for the Golden State Warriors. But jumping back, do you stop Curry and let everyone else go off, or do you let Curry go off and stop everybody else?
See, and as I was saying before, Curry's a playmaker. He's not just going to take a shot just to take a shot. Now, yeah, he does get grooves and he gets hot at certain times. But he's a playmaker, and he will do whatever's best for his team to win the game. So, for me, I let him do whatever he – I mean, not whatever he wants. Obviously, you've got to contain him. Obviously, you've got to keep him
in check.
You've
got to have a body on him.
Exactly. But I would never, ever double-team Steph Curry, because what he will do to you if you double-team him is get another guy open, and then you're really in a situation that I think is a little more difficult, because then you've got other guys that can definitely feed off of that. Guys like Klay Thompson, they can hit every open three that they take. But, you know, you've seen at certain times some of their players get inconsistencies in their offensive game. Klay Thompson is one of those guys. But usually when we see it, it's not when he has an open three. It's when he has a man on him, and that's when his inconsistency comes. Guys like Draymond Green, if he's doubled or if he has an extra man, you know, I'd rather have him making a pass than I would Steph Curry. So that's what I look at, more or less. So I wouldn't double-team Steph Curry because he's so gifted offensively, and his vision on the court is better than anyone else on the court, and I can guarantee it night in and night out that he will make you pay if you double-team him. Now, could there be some success with double-teaming him at certain points in the game? I think so. You know, it depends on the guys that are out there. If Draymond Green isn't in the game and then you've got, you know, someone else in the game, maybe you don't look to double-team him. And then maybe when Draymond Green comes into the game, you look to double-team him at certain points in the game or certain spots on the court, because it really depends on, you know, what the situation is. But overall, I don't think you want to double-team Stephen Curry, because he will make you pay one way or another.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, that's the question that keeps a lot of coaches up at night is, you know, there is no right or wrong answer. You just got to figure it out and, you know, learn from other teams' mistakes and hope you can do it. But I think everyone's kind of eyeing the Celtics guards and their ability to defend, especially, and you and I mentioned it prior, with, you know, if they had Marcus Smart, to be give them a little bit better opportunity there, especially defensively, being able to lock down defenders the way they can. You know, him and Bradley should be able to slow down Klay and Steph a little bit, but, you know, is there really any slowing down Curry? I don't think either of us believe that's possible, and you know, I just feel like you just have to take the season as it is, and you know, stop trying to compare this team to the 96 Bulls, and just, you know, really appreciate, because what we're seeing is something new, exciting. It's never been done before. I don't know if it will ever be done again, and I feel like too much of our time we spend comparing and contrasting and trying to make sense of it all, and sometimes you just have to sit back, get your popcorn out, and watch. I mean, the tickets right now for the game Friday night, and, you know, God knows I'm looking around trying to get a good deal. They're about $200 for a nosebleed. I mean, that is cheaper than, you know, NBA final tickets. I should say that's more expensive than the NBA finals tickets were, you know, when they played back here in 08. And it's really unfathomable. And you see in history, and it's just, I guess, just take it. So let's do quick predictions. Who do you think wins the game, and what kind of score are you anticipating for this?
Well, there's no really stopping the Golden State Warriors. I definitely anticipate them to win this game. If there is going to be a game they lose, like we've talked about, it could be this game. I do expect Brad Stevens to throw out a bunch of different defensive sets and throw out a bunch of different guys on Curry, Thompson, Draymond Green to try and get them off balance or try and make something happen. But overall, I expect the Golden State Warriors to win probably by 6 or 7 points. I think it's going to be closer than people think. I actually expect Golden State to probably come out guns a-blazing from the start, and then the Celtics kind of drain them down as it gets in from, like, the second, third, and fourth quarters, and hopefully reduce that deficit to get it within a reasonable amount. So I'm thinking it's going to be a high-scoring affair overall. Defensively, I don't think either team is going to on another. And so for that reason, I'd say probably, like, you know, 115, 110, somewhere in that range, Golden State wins.
Yeah, I'm in that same area. I think it's going to be Golden State's definitely going to win this game. I don't think anybody's going to question that. I think they're going to win by, you know, that 8 to 10 range. It's going to be one of those where it was closer than it feels like, you know, if you just look at the box score, oh, Warriors won by 10. You know, no, we're used to that. Their average margin of victory is something like, what, 16, I think it is. Celtics is number two in the league at 15.
Yeah.
So you look at that and you say, oh, you know, that's you know, typical Warriors, they had no problem. But I think it's going to be a close game till the end where, you know, we get to that half-court sets and you're really going to see Boston try to struggle to get some buckets, especially with their undersized guard and they're leading their team in Isaiah Thomas. So I think it's going to be in the low hundreds. You're not going to see 130, 120. You're going to see, you know, something like 105, 95 type game. You know, Celtics coming off a tough game against the Bulls and the Warriors had a couple of days off. But Oliver, pleasure as always, and we'll definitely be back next week to catch everybody up, and maybe the Golden State Warriors will have one loss in their loss column.
Maybe. Thank you very much, Jacob.
Take care.